man. Let's give it up for Mark.
Come on, big Mark.
What's going on, family? How you guys feeling? Doing good? Welcome, guys. It's good to be back together. Guys, let's start out with a word of prayer. Amen. Let's pray together. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for bringing us here tonight. It's just so awesome to worship you, God, just to bless your name, to sing to you. I just love the lyric in that song, like your love. It just makes us sing. It brings us joy. Your love makes us do crazy things, God, that we thought we would never do, God. We're just so in love with you. And tonight, we just want to know you better, God. We want to know who you are, Jesus. I pray that as we read the scriptures tonight, that you would just reveal things to us and our hearts that you want to show us, God. I know in a room this size, we're coming from a lot of different journeys and backgrounds and situations in life right now, God. I just pray that tonight we will just see you, Jesus. We will see you for who you are and just be so inspired by who you are. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, guys. So some of you might know this. Some of you might not know this, but baseball was like my life, man. Kind of before getting more into music. But so I love baseball. I was a pitcher, and I love the feeling of like striking people out. I don't know, is there any baseball players in the room? Anyone's played baseball? Alvin? Alvin wanted to play for the Newark Bears, and then the team went away. It was kind of a bummer. But anyway, so, you know, that feeling, like, you just feel like you own the world in that moment when, boom, strike three, they're done, they walk back to the bench. And, you know, this one time, this was, like, back in middle school in a tournament, but it was, like, a wooden bat league. And so You really wanted to throw the ball hard because it hurts. It kind of hurts people's hands with a wooden bat. And one time I threw this curveball, and the dude's bat broke. Like, his bat broke on contact. And I was just like, yeah, I just did that to your bat, bro. Your bat is broken right now. And it felt really good. But then here's what happens. Like, I kept pitching, and I kept pitching in high school. And then all of a sudden, I just started throwing the ball in the dirt. Like terrible pitching. And I couldn't even have a catch with somebody. Like where Daryl's at. Like, I couldn't even just have a catch right here and hit him on the chest, right on his mitt. And I just started, honestly, I just started to really overthink. And it was actually really psychological. Part of it was my coach and, you know, feeling a lot of pressure. But I just started to think too much. I started to get ahead of myself. I started trying to throw this like fork ball, kind of like a knuckleball. This is really hard to throw. And I was like, why am I even doing this? And then I just stopped like having fun altogether. Like, I just kind of stopped even enjoying playing baseball. And then one day in high school, I remember what my little league coach said. And his son was, we played together till high school. And Coach Costa, he would always tell us this. He would tell me, like, Mark, never forget the basics. Never forget the basics. And that really stuck with me. And to be honest, I got to high school and I was like, oh, I'm above the basics now, man. I'm going to throw this fork ball. I'm going to start striking people out more. And I even want to play college baseball. But then I got to my senior year. I didn't even love baseball so much. I wasn't pitching well. I just didn't even play my senior year, which was the one year you're like definitely on varsity and you like play the good teams. I didn't even want to play. And really, I think looking back, it's because I just really forgot the simple basics. And we would do this drill. This might look stupid. And Coach Costa would do this with like 20-year-olds. And you'd stand there and you'd take the baseball in your hand and you'd look it back, face it back like this, and then practice turning your hand around and throwing over. And we'd just do this for like half hour. And everyone would look at us like, yeah, it looks so stupid. You're like 19-year-old trying to play baseball. But that really was like huge. And I started doing that again in high school and it really helped me. And so the point that I'm trying to get at here is sometimes you just got to go back to the basics, right? Sometimes we're getting ahead of ourselves and we just got to go back to what's the basics of Christianity? What's the basics of Jesus' ministry? And so tonight, that's what we're going to do. Back to basics. Amen? That's what we're doing tonight. And I think this is going to be a really helpful night for wherever you're at. And so I got 3 points for you guys tonight. You guys want to hear them?
Yeah.
Here's what we got going on tonight. Know Jesus, make Jesus known, and help others make Jesus known. All right? That's what we're going to be going through tonight. And if, you know, if you want my notes, you want the slides, I can get those to you later. But this is what we're going through tonight. These things right here. And you know, some of you here tonight, that might sound like even too basic for you, even those first couple points. You might already be feeling like, I don't know if I need those first couple. Or you may feel like, you know, you're really in a place where you need all of them, which is great. But wherever you're at tonight, I just want to encourage you to just really just be humble. And let's just all go back to these basics together. No matter if you've been a Christian for 5 years or months or weeks or wherever you're at, I really believe we all need to master these things right here. Does that make sense, guys? Yeah. That sound good? But I want to frame tonight with the scripture. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to start reading verse 15. It's up on the screen. Because it can't just be some of us doing these three things, knowing Jesus, making Jesus known, and helping others make Jesus known. It needs to be all of us. All of us need to be doing this. And so Paul, he's writing to the church in Ephesus here. And he says, starting in verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, right, from Jesus, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen? And so we got to each decide every day individually to live these three things out, right? To know Jesus, to make him known, and to go help others make Jesus known. And when we all do our part, when we're all doing these things, guys, that's really when the church is healthy. Amen. That's really when the church grows. And a healthy church is a church that grows. Amen? A church that multiplies. And so as we're going through these points tonight, I just simply want to call all of us back to these three things. And I want you to kind of evaluate how these things are going in your walk with God, your personal relationship with God. Because we each need to devote ourselves, right? Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves. So we each need to devote ourselves to just knowing Jesus, making Jesus known, helping others make Jesus known. And so tonight we're just going to get equipped. Does that sound good? We're going to get equipped to do these things well. And so that's the first point. Know Jesus, all right? Let's dig in here. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse 7. So here's the thing. You can't follow someone that you don't know. You can't imitate someone if you don't even know who they are or who you're imitating. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you don't spend time getting to know who he is. Right? Being a Christian is all about having a deep relationship with God that changes the way you live your life. It's all about knowing Jesus. That's got to come first. And let's look at Paul's example here. And as you're reading this, pay attention to Paul's heart to know Jesus, all right? So let's read here together, starting in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. You guys with me? All right. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Wow, that's some conviction right there, isn't it? Yep. Paul's saying that all he cares about more than anything in the world is knowing Jesus. Knowing God. He says that he's lost all things, that all things are really garbage. They're rubbish. I love saying that word. They're rubbish, trash, compared to the greatness of knowing Jesus. Yeah. That's amazing. We got to see that in Paul here. And he's saying, I want to know him so badly that I'll suffer the way he did. He's like, I want to know Jesus so badly that I'll die the kind of death he died. That's some serious intimacy right there. He's like, I don't want to suffer like he suffered. I want to endure like he endured. I want to just know him. Whatever that takes. That inspires me. Does that inspire you? Inspire you about Paul? I love his example, but I want to ask you, how's that going with you? How's your desire just, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus. How's it going just getting great quality time with Jesus every day? Having good time, good quiet time. You know, do you look forward to your time with Jesus or is it a burden? Do you feel burdened by it? Are you kind of looking forward to what's after your quiet time? And sometimes we got to get creative, you know? Sometimes I just have to go and read something I haven't read in a long time or go for a prayer walk or just mix it up. And so maybe you got to do that. But I also want to ask you, what specifically are you trying to learn about Jesus right now? Do you have a specific area that you're like, yeah, this thing about Jesus, his courage, his patience, his boldness, his love. What is that for you right now? It's good to think about that. Amen. And also, you got to ask yourself, how much more do you know Jesus now than just from a couple months ago? Wouldn't it be weird if you spent 30 minutes every day for 2 months with somebody, but you still felt like you didn't know him well? Wouldn't that be weird? Yeah. And you like see them after 2 months and you're like, I don't know about you, I'm just still feeling like I don't even know you. It'd be kind of weird, right? But I think sometimes we go through months and we're like, yeah, I have my quiet times. I just don't know if I know God any better. You ever feel like that? And so I think we got to ask ourselves, how much more do I know Jesus now since the day I started getting to know him, since becoming a Christian? Amen? Amen. And so that, guys, that's priority number one is knowing Jesus, getting to know him better. The best thing you could ever do with your day is spend time with Jesus. Amen? Best thing you could ever do with your time is spend time with Jesus. And Paul's saying everything else, right? It's good to do well in school. You should. It's good to have great friendships. It's good to have fun. Go watch a movie. But he's saying what? Paul's like, all that's rubbish compared to knowing my God, right? To knowing Jesus. And without Jesus, without getting to know him and his love, we really won't have any motivation to please him. That makes sense? If we're not getting to know him, how awesome he is, we won't want to really please him. But the more we read the Bible, the more we see God's love for us, no matter what book in the Bible you're reading. And the more you're reading, the more that love's going to motivate you to deny yourself, right? Take up your cross, live a radical life for Jesus. But if we're not getting to know his love, we're never going to really radically follow him, right? Because we don't know him. And you got to know someone before you follow them. You know, maybe you're having your quiet times. A lot of us in here are. It's awesome. And you're doing well. Praise God. Keep killing it. But I also want to ask you, are you hungering and thirsting for more? Are you hungering and thirsting for more? You know, in Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Amen? Yeah. So maybe you're just kind of at this place where you're getting great time with God, but you just want something more. You want more out of your time with God. I just want to encourage all of us just to hunger for more. Amen? Practically, that might mean starting to read a more specific spiritual book along with your quiet times, right? Maybe asking your discipler, hey, is there a book that you'd recommend on this topic? Maybe you got to go deeper in your learning and maybe read some more commentaries on the Bible, you know, and really digging into some commentary on what you're reading. Maybe you got to just start pushing yourself to pray longer. You know, when's the last time you prayed just for an hour to God? You know, sometimes I pray for 20 minutes and I'm like fighting to pray for 20 minutes. It's revealing, but maybe you got to push your prayer life. Maybe you just got to ask your mentor, your discipler, like, what do you see that I need to hunger for more? Right? What do you see that I got to go deeper for more? And so we all got to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen, guys? Amen. But here's the other cool thing is that knowing Jesus, right? Jesus is the head of the body. Knowing Jesus is also about knowing his body, right? Knowing the body of Christ. And so I want to kind of transition here into about really knowing each other, right? Because this is the body of Christ, disciples of Jesus. We make up his body. And so part of knowing Jesus is knowing his body, knowing his family. There's this quote I heard recently. It says, leadership is building a loving home that everyone wants to go to. Not awesome, right? And so here's the thing. If it's a loving home, the people in that home better really know each other really well, right? A loving home, there's deep relationships. And so part of knowing Jesus is knowing one another. Because disciples, we got the Holy Spirit in us, right? We're living by it. And so the more we get to know each other, we're also seeing Jesus in one another. And that's when we can have this loving home that when people come to midweek or they come to your Bible talk, they're like, man, this is different. I like this. And we can just say, yeah, it's not us. It's all Jesus. It's all him. It's all God. But and I think this is something, honestly, I just want to encourage you guys. I feel like we've just grown so much in just being a really tight-knit family. I don't know if you guys feel that, but I just feel like we've gone after just hanging out together, going to get food, just kind of doing life together. But I think we got to continue to grow in it. Amen? So I just want to ask you, how's it going getting to know Christ's body, getting to know other disciples? Are you intentional about getting to know people you don't know in the campus ministry? You know, are you seeking to really know each other, know your brother, know your sister, and how you can serve them? You know, it's hard to serve somebody that you don't know. It's hard to encourage someone if you don't know them. Do you guys agree with that? Right? It's hard to do that. So I just want to give you guys some practicals here. You know, this past weekend, the church leaders from Indonesia did a whole workshop for us. And some of that stuff I'm kind of stealing tonight. So for those of you that were there, you're getting it again. But this is kind of practically what it's going to look like for us to really know the body of Christ, knowing each other and loving the body. And so in our relationships with one another, we want to really fight to know each other, but also to be known, right? We want to let people into our lives, right? So think about how that's going for you, knowing people, but also letting yourself be known. How's it going just encouraging people, but also receiving encouragement? Maybe you're really good at giving it, but are you good at getting encouragement, receiving it, right? Also, really loving the body, knowing Jesus is serving each other, but also being served, right? Letting people serve you when you need it. And lastly, to disciple and to be discipled. To help people be more like Jesus, to disciple them, but also to be discipled. Amen? And so you kind of just look at those things and think about how are these things going for you? And maybe which one of these things... Does this thing work here? Ooh, very cool. It's like super big. It doesn't do anything. But which one of those is hardest for you? I think it's good to think about that for you. And so guys, we just got to decide to know Jesus. That's number one. And also know one another. And we got to prioritize that first. But we also got to make Jesus known. Amen? So that's point number two. Make Jesus known. You guys with me? Amen. So, you know, it's not about how much you know. It's about how much you put into practice. There's plenty of theologians that know the Bible better than we will ever know it. But guess what? They're not putting it into practice. Right? You could know everything, but Jesus is like, if you're really my disciple, you do what I say.
Right.
You live it out. You know, it's about obedience. And so this point is going to be more about being outwardly focused like Jesus was, and specifically seeking and saving the lost. And, you know, the best way to come to know Jesus better is by doing what he did while he was on earth. That's it. Do what he did, right? That's the best way to really intimately get to know who Jesus is. So what did Jesus do while he was on earth? He was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing, serving people. He taught the scriptures, he proclaimed God everywhere he went. He served the poor, he was a selfless servant of all people. And so if those are the things he did, we got to do those things too if we really want to get to know him. But in short, Jesus spent his time on earth making God known and really making himself known to everyone around him, making sure people knew who he was. And he made himself known by serving people constantly and living a life that's outwardly focused. Does that make sense, guys? That's how Jesus made himself known. He went where the people were. And so, guys, we got to get this. And I think some of us sometimes wonder why we feel distance from God. Because we're having our quiet times. We're here at midweek. We're there on Sundays. But then we're like, yeah, I just feel like distant, right? And so listen, guys, you could come to every meeting of the body. You could have every quiet time. It's about going and being like Jesus. What do you do outside of Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, your Bible talk? That's when you're going to really get to know Jesus, amen? Is when you're doing what he did. We got to follow in his steps. It's like, let me give you guys an example here. If you want to experience what it's like to be LeBron James, there you go, that's my man. If you want to experience what it's like to be like LeBron, you can't just go read about him online. You could, but that's a start, right? You're reading about him. But if you want to experience a day in the life of LeBron, you gotta work out like he works out. You gotta eat what he eats. You gotta talk like he talks. You gotta be motivated by what motivates him, right? And that's how you're gonna really experience what it's like to live a life like him, right? And so I think it's kind of weird that with Jesus, we kind of just don't, we're not that simple about it, right? It's like if I want to experience Jesus, I need to do what he did. I can't just read about him. I can't just write a research paper on him. I can't just journal a whole notebook and expect that I'm going to know him. I got to go do what he did. I got to live it out. And that's when we really get to know Jesus. Amen? And Jesus, because he served people selflessly, he knew God. He really knew God's heart because he lived out God's heart. Amen? You know, Matthew 28, we all know the scripture, right? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It says, he's like, look, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right? We know this scripture, right? How's it going doing it? How's it going making disciples? In your week, how's that going for you? How's it going spending time each week helping others get to know Jesus? The best thing you can ever do for somebody is introducing them to Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Best thing you can do for somebody. You know, Jesus went out and he made disciples of himself. He called people to follow him. He's a fisher of men. He called people to imitate him. That's what he did. And that's the only reason why we're here tonight. Because he called people to be his disciples, right? He called people to follow him. But are you calling others to follow him? Is that part of your week, part of your day? Who am I calling today to be like Jesus? So what does that look like practically? It means that you're in Bible studies. You're actively in Bible studies with people, helping them know Jesus. You're learning how to lead Bible studies effectively. You're learning how to share your faith on campus, whether that's in class, whether that's cold contact evangelism. But you're making time in the week to do that because you care about the lost. Amen? It also practically looks like you're praying for people. There's people in your life that you're trying to make disciples and you're praying for them daily. They're on your heart. You're inviting people out to ministry events. That's part of your week. Hitting up your contacts, inviting your friends, bringing them out to different events and meeting disciples. And really at the end of the day, practically, it's just loving people deeply.
Yeah.
Loving people on your campus. And, you know, you got to start somewhere. And for some of us, sharing faith is really new. Leading a Bible study is really new. That's okay. But just start. Start somewhere. You got to get uncomfortable. You know, sometimes it's just uncomfortable. Like, one time, I've told some of you guys this, but one time I was sharing at Willie P, and I meet this dude, and it's kind of one of those moments where you just say, hey, excuse me, and they look at you like you're like, I don't know, a murderer. And you're like, dude, I'm like, it's okay, man. It's okay. Like, it's going to be all right. And this guy just kind of like stared at me like this the whole time. And I tried to keep my sentence quick because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. I was like, anyways, so are you interested in that? And he was like, Jesus was a black Egyptian. And just walked away. And I was like, right. You know, I just kind of kept walking. And so like, I don't know what you do with that besides you just keep going. You keep sharing. But honestly, like, sometimes you just got to kind of go, like, have some adventures with sharing your faith. And you get some stories from it. But, you know, guys, to be honest with you guys, like, I'm a campus minister. And I'm a campus minister, but every day I got a battle to go share my faith. You know, today I'm sitting outside in Montclair State, soaking up the sun, working on this lesson. And I'm like, I feel good about this lesson. An hour till the next Bible study. And I had that moment. And what am I going to do? I don't got homework anymore, right? And so I just went and shared. And it felt so good just to get out there. And I was like, man, I feel like I'm bonding with Jesus right now. I'm talking to people. Got a couple phone numbers. Had some good conversation. Talked to this Muslim guy. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to talk more. Like, and yet I could have never done that. Could have just went to the library and said, I need to work on this more and make the keynote nicer. And it's like, dude, come on. Go make disciples, man. Go help people know Jesus, right? But how's that going for you? I want to encourage the young Christians in the room. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 18 here. You guys with me? All right. So Paul here, this is Paul's conversion, okay? And we're going to pick up here in verse 18. It says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Okay, then it says, Paul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. So he got to know these disciples. Verse 20. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. So Paul just gets baptized. He just spends a couple days with the disciples. But what does it say? At once he began to preach. He was like, this is so amazing. I was on my way to persecute Christians, to kill Christians. Now I am one. Jesus has forgiven me. Everyone needs to know about Jesus and his grace. I'm going out. I'm doing it. He's just right away. And I think sometimes, I know I felt this as a young Christian, like, wait, I can't do that yet. Because I don't know all the Bible studies. Wait, I can't go share yet because I don't know what I'm going to do when I sit down with them. Okay, here's how you got to think. It's not about you need to know everything, but it is about I need to go open doors. I need to go meet people. I need to give them an opportunity to know Jesus. And okay, maybe you don't know the Bible the way you want to yet. Invite someone that does, right? Invite someone that's studied the Bible with a lot of people. But it's your responsibility to at once, like even as young Christians, to go and proclaim the good news. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you guys. You know, we got a lot of young Christians in here. But you guys, you know, God, I've said this before, but God doesn't, God doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen, which is all of us, right? So he's not asking you to like be this perfect disciple, but he's saying, hey, I've called you. I believe in you. So go do this. Amen? So how's that going for you, just making Jesus known? You know, I want to lift up Derek. You know, Derek, this dude, man, so inspiring. He's challenged me. He gets baptized, and the next day, he's like, yo, when you sharing? When we going out? And I'm like, woo, let's go, Derek. Let's go, man. And we went out. We shared our faith together. As he's in Bible studies, like a ton of Bible studies, like that first week. And he's like taking notes on his laptop. I'm like, geez Louise, this dude's writing an essay for this guy. This is awesome. But Derek he just went out, a young Christian. But he's like, I'm so grateful for what Jesus has done for me. He's like, I just want other people to know. I want other people to know Jesus. And so I'm gonna go out there and do that. And Derek's just been changing people's lives. It's awesome. And so we just gotta imitate that. You know, I wanna lift up Abby Sloan. She's been killing it. So she's, you know, part of her sorority, but she's been telling the girls about Street Team. And they made a bunch of sandwiches for street team last week, and one of the girls from the sorority came and was serving with us. So sometimes you got to get creative, right? Maybe you don't got a lot of time to go and do cold contact, but get creative with your evangelism, right? Maybe, I don't know, you tutor people, you have another group you're a part of, but just give people an opportunity to go after Jesus, amen? Whatever that is, whatever your friend group is, but we all, just because we're young Christians, we still got to do our part. Amen? Amen? And again, why are we doing this? Because we know Jesus. Right. Because we love him and we want other people to know him. Amen? So let's go on our third point here. Helping others make him known. All right? This is my shorter point, point number three here. And so, you know, just because someone's a great athlete, it doesn't mean that you're automatically a great coach, right? There's plenty of great athletes that if you ask them to go and coach, they'd be like, I don't know how to do that, right? And so it doesn't mean that automatically you're a good mentor or you're a good discipler. And so 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, check this out. This is like a pillar verse right here. It says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, this is Paul talking, he says, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others, right? So he's telling Timothy, look, don't just be the only one training people. Go and call other people to prove reliable and to also be qualified to teach others how to help others get to know Jesus, right? Teach others how to lead the Bible studies, how to make a disciple, right? So here's the progression. It's you get to know Jesus, right? Someone helps you get to know Jesus. But as you're getting to know Jesus, you start to go and make disciples, right? You're helping other people know God. You're evangelizing. You make a disciple, right? Come on. But then you're not done yet. The job's not done yet. Then you got to help teach them how to go and make disciples. Amen? That's where all of our goals should be. I don't just want to become a Christian. I don't just want to do my part in sharing my faith. I want to help someone else get really good at making disciples. That makes sense, guys? So that's got to be all of our goal. And he's calling all of us to prove reliable. 1 Thessalonians 1, in verse 6, it says, you became imitators of us and the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So Paul's saying here that he was imitatable. He showed people what it was like to be more like Jesus. And because Paul mentored this church and helped these disciples grow, then these disciples, they were able to become a model, right? And guys, you got to think about this. Paul goes to Thessalonica. You can go read this in the book of Acts. He's there not for a long time. He makes disciples. And then he's gone. They got no leader. But it's their job to go and be disciples, right? Like, just think about that. If this room, me, Matt, Shauna, Rob, Chelsea, we all just go. We're on, right? That's what it's like in the book of Acts. And you're all here like, oh, snap. What are we going to do? And amen, we need our leaders. But that's what it was like. But here's what they did. They said, we're going to do our part. We're going to prove reliable. And now Paul's writing to them, and he's like, you guys have become an example. He's like, I'm learning from you now. And you've become an example to all the churches. And so we gotta really ask ourselves, are you imitatable? Right? You know, 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Amen? Amen? When was the last time you asked someone to imitate you and felt good about it? Right? You know, here's the deal. People are going to look at you and imitate you whether you like it or not. People are watching, right? And so what are you not worthy of imitation? Wow. You got to ask yourself that. What can't people follow your example in? Is it quiet times? Is it leading Bible studies? Is it encouraging the body? Is it serving the poor? Is it discipling? Is it your prayer life? I don't know what it is for you, but you got to think about, what am I not really worthy of imitation in? And you got to repent. You got to change that. Because you want people to follow you as you follow Jesus. Amen? Yeah. We got to follow his example. And skip that here. So, like for me, to be brutally honest, like serving the poor, you couldn't imitate that in my life for like 5 years of being a Christian. It's like kind of embarrassing to say, but like if you said, yeah, I'm gonna imitate Mark, you would not experience at all Jesus serving the poor, you know? And so that's something that I realized. I'm not doing this. I need to get this. And I'm still needing to grow in that. I'm still trying to learn, like, what does that look like in my life right now? How do I do that? But I just want you to think about what is that for you? Mm-hmm. What do you need to be more like Jesus in so you can call others to follow you in that way? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so we're coming in for a landing here. And again, all of our goals should be to prove reliable, to be imitatable. And just to close out, it's just, again, why are we trying to make Jesus known? Why are we trying to help others make Jesus known? Guys, it's the gospel. It's so good. The fact that God Almighty himself decided to come down to earth, get in your skin, take on your sin, and die the most painful, excruciating death, taking on your sin, being separated from his own God, living a sinless life for you, and all you did was sin. You didn't even deserve it. And he said, I love you. I want to give you a clean slate. I care about you. I want you to live for all eternity. And then we ask God, why did you do that? And he's like, because I love you. Because I love you so much. And I want to be with you forever and eternity. And so we got to remember that, guys. It's because he's so good. Jesus is so good. And for me, when I can just think about that, like, wow, he did that for me. Then when I'm on campus, I'm like, hey, I gotta talk to people about it. It's an overflow, right? Because we're really getting to know Jesus. Amen? So awesome. So lastly here, and this is just kind of summarizing these points here, is... like that transition. So is we can't do 2 and 3 without number 1. Amen? And it's just super basic. But I just want to ask you guys, get to know Jesus better, right? If you're not having great times with God right now, just start there. Don't even go to number 2 and 3, please. Focus on that after. Yeah. Get to know Jesus. Then, all right, I know Jesus. I know who he is. Start making him known. Go and make disciples. And then your goal should be, I want to help other people get good at making disciples. Amen? Yeah. And guys, again, when we all do this, when we all do our part, that's when God really blows our minds and we just see a healthy church, a healthy ministry, and see the church grow. And that's what we all want at the end of the day. Amen? Yeah. That's what we all want. And so, guys, let's really focus on these things. Let's really make it our ambition to do this. And again, I just want to encourage you to kind of evaluate your own walk with God in kind of a plan of action that you can have to put this into practice is in your quiet time tomorrow, go through each of these 3 things and just kind of do a self-evaluation. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so, or if you want to do that tonight, that's awesome too. But in your quiet times there tomorrow, spend some time just going through those things and maybe asking your discipler, how are these going in your life? And that's when we're really going to see God shine. Amen, guys? Amen. Guys, so let's go fall more in love with Jesus. Let's go make him known. And let's go help other people make him known. Amen? Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Come on.